The following programming is sponsored by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hello and welcome to Positively Pro-Life Podcast. Positively Pro-Life is brought to you by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation and aims to bring you inspirational stories and conversation, important legislative updates, and informative interviews as we seek to restore and strengthen a culture of life. I'm your host, Ramil Tani, the Education Director at the Federation, and joining me is Maria Gallagher, who as of this week has assumed the role of Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. So today we'll get to know a little bit more about her, her life, her work, her convictions, and her time working for the Federation. Welcome to the podcast, Maria.
Thank you so much, Rimmel. It's great to be with you today. I'm coming to you from my home, so it's a bit different, and you're coming to us from a remote location. So we'll do this in a different manner, but it'll still be great.
It will be, and we're very excited to see what you have for us as the leader of the organization. But why don't you start us off with your update for the week?
Sure. I am a big believer in lists. They can help you get to the heart of the matter and prioritize your day. So in recognition of the power of lists, here's my top five lists for why I am pro-life. Number one, the unborn child deserves protection from the violence of abortion. I was raised to fight for the little guy, and there is none so little as the child in his mother's womb. Number two, women deserve to be free from the tragedy of abortion. Abortion leaves a woman to grieve the loss of a child killed in an act of brutality. While there are hope and healing available to women following an abortion, they should not have to shoulder such pain. Number three, pro-life is pro-love. I have seen time and time again an outpouring of love from advocates for life. They demonstrate their love for mothers, for fathers, and for babies with each act of kindness they complete. Number four, assisted suicide is a corruption of the medical profession. Doctors are trained to heal, not to harm. When doctors prescribe lethal doses of drugs, it represents a profound act of hopelessness, which coarsens our culture. And number five, pro-life is pro-joy. I have witnessed the joy of a mother following the birth of her beloved child. It is a beautiful sight to behold, and it is worth fighting for. I encourage you to come up with your own top five list of why you are pro-life and share it with your friends and family members. You never know who you might influence with your words. Ramon.
That's a great list, Maria, and I'm so glad you started us off with why you are pro-life, because that is the conversation we will be having later in the episode. But in other news, I just wanted to share about this news that made headlines, maybe not headlines, but it was pretty out there about 17-year-old Kayla Kosmowski, who became the first contestant with Down syndrome to be crowned Miss Delaware Teen USA. Kosmowski is such an inspiration. She's a senior and a varsity cheerleader at her Middletown High School and is a passionate advocate for people with disabilities. And she has even lobbied for the rights and inclusion of individuals with disabilities, which has helped with the passage of the ABLE Act in 2014. Now, this allows states to create tax-advantaged savings programs for eligible people with disabilities, and it was named as the Kayla Act in her hometown of Delaware. When one of the organizers happened to say this about Kayla, she says, her win not only marks a personal achievement, but also serves as a beacon of hope and inspiration for countless individuals worldwide, in particularly those living with disabilities. Her aspiration to become the first Miss Delaware Teen USA with Down syndrome reflects her unwavering commitment to breaking down barriers and redefining standards of beauty and inclusivity in the pageant world and beyond. Now, this was the second time that Kayla has participated in this event, and this time she took home the crown of glory. Now, the best thing about Kayla is when she was interviewed, she talked about her life. She talked about the people. Now, this was in a different interview. She talked about how people with Down syndrome are able to do things. And so this is what she said, quote, "People with Down syndrome can do anything. They are who they are, and Down syndrome doesn't hold me back." That's a beautiful message to the world, Kayla, and we really, really are so proud of what you've been doing, not just for yourself, but also for people around the world with disabilities. This is why we advocate for life within the womb to be protected, even when there is a diagnosis of Down syndrome. The unfortunate thing is a lot of people think it's okay. I mean, Down syndrome is held up as the reason for people to have abortions, but when we do that, we miss out on knowing people like Kayla. So thank you for being such a great, an amazing witness, and we are so proud of you. Now, we will move on to our interview, a guest interview. We are interviewing my co-host, Maria Gallagher, who has previously worked as a reporter and news producer before joining the pro-life cause, and served as legislative associate for Ohio Right to Life prior to joining the Federation. Maria has a bachelor's degree in journalism from Ohio State University and a master's in journalism from Northwestern University. She's a prolific writer, a published author, and a regular contributor to National Right to Life News. Maria has worked for the Federation for nearly 22 years, and during this time, she has worked as education director, legislative director, acting executive director for a brief period of time, and now she has been appointed the executive director. This is, I mean, that's a number of hats to wear all in the span of a few years. So, Maria, how are you feeling in your new role as executive director?
Well, Rama, I am so honored and privileged to be executive director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. It is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State. We cover the issues of abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, stem cell research, and assisted suicide. And we have nearly 40 local county-based chapters throughout the Commonwealth. And it is so gratifying to be able to work at a place where you know you're making a positive difference in the world. And we know from experience that the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is the leading organization in the Keystone State when it comes to pro-life issues. I mean, we were able to cut the abortion rate nearly in half in Pennsylvania as a result of helping to pass the groundbreaking Abortion Control Act, which provides for informed consent, parental consent, a 24-hour waiting period for abortion, a ban on sex selection abortions, and protections for preborn babies in the latter stages of pregnancy. And we're also a proud supporter of the Hyde Amendment, which nationally bars abortion, taxpayer funding of it, except in the cases of rape, incest, or to save the life of the mother. And that piece of legislation has saved more than 2.1 million lives across the country. So it's simply phenomenal. And we've seen over the years where we have added new chapters in various areas. I remember when we launched the Bedford County chapter way back when, that was groundbreaking. We worked to establish chapters in the Southeast and Southwest parts of the state. And it is an exciting time to be with the pro-life movement because we've seen the overturn of Roe versus Wade. That was the tragic 1973 U.S. Supreme Court ruling, which had established abortion for any reason during all 9 months of pregnancy in all 50 states. And now that dreadful ruling has been cast into the ash heap of history, and it's a new day and a new dawn for the pro-life movement. And we're very fortunate to be working at a time when we see many protections in place in various states across the nation for preborn children and for their mothers. We also see a very successful campaign against assisted suicide. Assisted suicide is only legal in a handful of states in the District of Columbia. It could be far worse than that if advocates of assisted suicide got their way. And so we see a number of victories. We also have our challenges. We have our stumbles. But in the end, we know that we're on the right side of history.
That's amazing, Maria, what you just shared, the Federation's journey and what you have seen as well. You've been part of this. So just backtracking a little bit, can you tell us about how you started working for the Federation? How did you find it? What was the journey that led you here?
Sure. I started with the Ohio Right to Life as a legislative associate, and I was very happy in that position. And then I got a hold of an email newsletter from the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. At that time, it was called the Online News. Today, it's called PA Lifelinks. And there was an ad there for an education director. And it talked a lot about having to deal with the news media, doing media interviews, doing writing, doing editing. And that's really where my heart was at that time. And so I applied for the position. I was awarded the position. I accepted the position. And so I traveled from Ohio to Pennsylvania with a U-Haul trailer on the back of my car. And just as I crossed the border into Pennsylvania, I noticed something was wrong. I got out of the car and I found out that there was a flat tire, not on the car, but on the trailer. So at that point in time, I had to make a crucial decision. Was I going to go back to Ohio, where I was very comfortable and very happy? Or was I going to continue the adventure on through Pennsylvania? And I decided that I was going to be the adventure seeker. And so I have not looked back. I've never regretted a moment of my time at the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. It's been an awesome experience, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
With that one experience, you've never looked back. Now, what are you looking most forward to in your role as the executive director?
I think I'm looking most forward to connecting with our local chapter leaders around the Commonwealth and our local supporters around the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I want to make good, strong, solid connections with those individuals who are pro-life. And I want to reach out to individuals who may in their heart be pro-life, but they've never actively been involved. And I want to issue a call for volunteers. There is so much work to do, and we need your talents and skills. So if you're listening and you have any interest at all in volunteering in any part of the state, please contact us through our website at paprolife.org. That's paprolife.org. And we'd be happy to connect with you. I think that this is a team event, the pro-life movement. We need all hands on deck. We need everybody to do their part in terms of rebuilding a culture of life in Pennsylvania and throughout the country. And I really believe that those local county-based chapters are the lifelines of the pro-life movement. And that's where the real work starts, in your local community, going to those fairs and festivals, having those display booths, showing the development of the unborn child in the womb through soft touch fetal models, sharing information with people, sharing our various brochures and fact sheets, showing the video that we have, the awesome video of a child developing in the mother's womb. That's where the excitement is. And I think reaching out to young people is particularly gratifying. We know that young people across the Commonwealth are on fire for life. We just saw that in our essay and oratory contest. We had really brilliant submissions from students throughout Pennsylvania. And they are not just the leaders of tomorrow, they're the leaders of today. And we need to support them in their role as peer advocates for life. And that's so very important nowadays because, unfortunately, young women are bombarded with pro-abortion messages, especially from certain politicians. And they need to hear the truth that every life is a blessing, that every life should be protected and cherished, that abortion is the taking of an innocent human life, and it's a violent act, and that the pro-life movement stands ready to assist pregnant women throughout their pregnancy journeys and beyond. Through the lives of their offspring. So this is such a wonderful time to be pro-life, and I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Very well said. Now, you had mentioned this earlier. You said that these are challenging times for us in Pennsylvania. But from your perspective, what is currently the most challenging aspect of working for the pro-life cause in Pennsylvania?
I think the most challenging aspect in Pennsylvania is simply getting the word out because, unfortunately, the other side is very well funded. They have TV commercials galore where they paint a very bleak picture of life. And unfortunately, they operate under a lot of misconceptions and a lot of misinformation. And so it's important that we get our message out through various means, through podcasts, media interviews, articles, blog posts, social media, any and all ways that we can to combat the lies that are being put forward. You know, there's the common misconception that the pro-life movement stands for the baby in the womb, but nothing beyond that. And that simply is not the case. I hear story after story of women who have found support through the pro-life movement, not only during their pregnancies, but during the child's toddler years and school years. And I hear so many stories of pro-life advocates who adopt children, who foster children, who love children, all along life spectrum. And I think that we need to do a better job of communicating what the pro-life side is all about. There's unfortunately a misnomer that the pro-life side is angry, male-dominated, and very unforgiving and very judgmental. And in fact, I had an organization that right now has an all-female staff. And so it's girl power all the way at the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. And we are happy to be involved in pro-life. We are not judgmental people. We are people who are very forgiving, very understanding, and very much interested in helping women throughout their lives. And so I think getting that message out, that positive pro-life message, is so very important.
You are a wealth of, you have a wealth of resources and information when it comes to the pro-life movement. I'm just a little curious, had you always been pro-life, or was that something that came into?
Thanks for the question, Rammel. I was born into a family that greatly treasured children. I spent a lot of time with the Italian side of my family. And my grandparents were immigrants to this country from Italy. And they had seven children and numerous grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And so we were steeped in family growing up. But unfortunately, when I got to college, I started studying journalism. And while I do express an appreciation for what I learned in terms of the craft of journalism, unfortunately, there is something called the Associated Press style book, which dictates what words you can use when you refer to abortion. And the style book simply banned the phrase pro-life. You couldn't use that at all. You couldn't use the phrase unborn baby or unborn child. And because of that, I felt like I was indoctrinated into a pro-abortion culture, to the point where I thought at one time that I was pro-choice. But then a friend of mine approached me, and he asked me what I was doing for the pro-life cause. And I told him, well, I can do nothing because I'm a journalist. And he questioned that. And he started giving me pro-life materials to read, including The Gospel of Life by Pope St. John Paul II. And those materials really pricked my conscience, and they illuminated my path so that I realized the truthfulness of the pro-life cause. And I recognize the fact that to be a person of integrity, I needed to stand by the right to life. And so I parted ways with traditional journalism, but I found new ways to write. And I write for National Right to Life News Today. I write for CatholicMom.com. I write books, and I write for the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. So I did not give up writing, but I gave up writing according to a pro-abortion style book. And I'm glad I did.
Well, thank you for sharing your story, Maria. And also about the fact of that you mentioned right now, this was 20-something years ago, but you had guidelines as to how you would report, and I can see how this is so prevalent even in our mainstream media right now. We're called anti-abortion activists. Well, I mean, that is like an extremist. I mean, that's another word that people have started using about pro-lifers, and it's so far from the truth, like you had explained earlier. But I think that also gives us an idea of this is why we see that kind of language in mainstream media. Now, could you give us some highlights from your time at the Federation? I know you mentioned some of the big things that have happened, but could you share with us your personal favorite highlights from working for the Federation?
I think the highlights include our town hall tours where we crisscross the state, giving pro-life presentations. That was just phenomenal. What a tremendous learning experience that was. The advent of social media really revolutionized the process of getting information to people. So I was very excited by the advent of Facebook and Twitter, now X, and Instagram and LinkedIn, and all of it, because it provides an avenue of opportunity. Now, sometimes we run into difficulties getting our message out through social media, but I think that it's still worthwhile to try. And we have seen an explosion of alternative methods of social media. So that's been great. And I think the passage of a bill, House Bill 818, which ensures that there's no taxpayer funding of abortion under the health insurance exchange created in Pennsylvania under Obamacare. We really don't know how many lives that has saved and hearts that have been changed as a result of that law in Pennsylvania. It's very important, and we want to preserve that law. And I think the passage of the abortion center regulation law, which ensures that abortion centers meet basic health and safety standards, and that they must be subjected to annual unannounced inspections, I think that's been a real game changer in Pennsylvania. And we saw more than a half dozen abortion facilities which closed their doors because they either could not or would not meet basic health and safety regulations. And of course, that grew out of the tragic case in West Philadelphia of abortionist Kermit Gosnell. And we need to continue to work in Pennsylvania to prevent future Gosnells from establishing their grisly trade here. I look forward to a time when we'll be able to fully protect pregnant women and their children from harm. And I'm excited to work alongside you, Remmel, in the cause. You've been a tremendous asset, and you've brought such life to the education department. So I just want to give a shout out to you and all that you've done to help preserve and protect life in Pennsylvania.
Thank you for your kind words, Maria. Well, we're so glad to have heard a little bit more about your life, your convictions, and your work. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Maria, today. And if you would, if you may, could you close us out like you usually do?
Sure. We are so excited to be with you today and to share some of our vision for the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation exists through the support of our local county-based chapters throughout the Commonwealth. Thank you for joining us on the program today. It wouldn't be the same without you. This is a pro-life state, and we are proud to be a part of it. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.